Read Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Out of the box thinking. A true story of a man lowered through the roof. We did our own lateral thinking earlier. Some of us, it has to be said, were much better at it than others. That's why you've got a pastor that you've got and the church secretary that you've got, lateral thinkers. But seriously, sometimes you need to think out of the box. And tonight we see a little bit of faith and courage and out of the box thinking. As we begin these verses in chapter 2 of Mark's Gospel, we come across a little bit of a problem. Jesus is a popular person. He healed people and he taught people. People saw the miracles and they were amazed. People saw the miracles and they wanted to see more. People heard his teaching and they found it refreshing and they found it different. They wanted to hear more. Back in verse 37 of the first chapter, we read of his disciples telling him, "Everyone is looking for you." Everyone wants to see more of Jesus. Everyone wants to hear more from him. And so the crowds follow him around. And here in chapter 2, we find that Jesus is at a house in Capernaum. And since people have been watching out for him, and because they want to see him, they gather around. And we read that there were so many people that came to see him that day, that there was no room left, not even outside the door. The house was packed. It was crammed, even the doorway, probably the window if there was one sitting there. Everyone was crowded around, looking in and listening in. Let me take you back to Jesus' day and to think of the houses. The houses were single story, not like our two or three story houses or our blocks of flats that we can see out of the window here tonight. They usually had one main large room, perhaps with a cooking area and a sleeping area off to the side. The roof was a flat roof. Wasn't sloped like ours, it didn't go up in an apex. And there was usually a staircase, but not inside the house like yours and like mine, but the staircase would be outside the house. The roof was flat. Large beams were placed in the roof. And then between the large beams would be smaller pieces of wood sticks. And then there'd be thatch. Thatch being mud and twigs and grain all kind of mixed together and shoved on the top. They would then cover it all in mud to make it thick. And then some of them, if they were wealthy enough, would lay on top of the mud some kind of tile, usually a clay tile. And this would keep, hopefully, any rain they had from getting through. It would also keep any animals from burrowing their way through, any of the birds, if it was just plain thatch, that would dig their way through. That's the kind of house that Jesus was in. Why is that important? Well, we'll find out in a minute. This was one large room. This one large room house was full. Everybody wanted to hear and to see Jesus. You would think that when a paralyzed man came, they would all get out of their way. What would you do if somebody came who was infirm or elderly and struggling, somebody who was injured? We would get out of the way to let them through. At least I hope we would. But these people didn't. The crowd was so excited about seeing Jesus that they just blocked the way. They had it all blocked in. The friends of this man want him to see Jesus. The man has a problem too, though. Not just the problem of trying to get into the house, but this particular man's got a problem. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. He has to be carried everywhere. The likelihood is that he probably didn't work either, and so he's got no income for his family. They know Jesus can heal him. They know Jesus can make him walk again, but they cannot get through. And that's the problem. How do you get through a crowd? How do you get into a house when it's a single-story house with one large room and when so many people are desperately crowded around to see Jesus? Well, there's a bit of a process that follows, isn't there? A process of getting the man to Jesus. These four men who carried the paralyzed man show great faith and show great courage. They're determined that their friend is going to see Jesus. They know Jesus can heal him. They fully expect a miracle to happen if they can just get through. They no doubt try and barge their way in, but no one is for moving. No one is for letting them past. They could have given up at this point. I suspect I might have done. But they're desperate. And so their faith and their courage leads them to some out-of-the-box thinking. Some lateral thinking. Just like in Apollo 13, when the team on the ground don't give up and they begin to think differently and they begin to get all of these random parts and fit them together and make them work. So these men, these friends of this paralyzed man, think outside the box. They want to get their friend to Jesus. And there's a number of things involved in this process that are worth just picking up on. The first thing is teamwork. We've read that there were four men who came carrying this one paralyzed man. They are his friends. They're working together. Now, not one of them could have carried him on their own. Now, whether that's to do with the size of the man, or whether that's because of his infirmity, or whether that's because it was a great distance they had to come, we have no idea. But it took four of them to carry this man. They've been working their way through the city streets to get to this house. Teamwork's then shown a little bit further as they climb onto the roof and then as they lower the man through, as we'll think on in a minute or two. They would have been quicker working together to make the hole. And it will have needed the four of them to work together to lower the man down on his mat. They wouldn't want to simply drop him down, or else his injuries may well be worse than they first started with. Teamwork. But also in the process, there's that little bit about creativity. They couldn't get past the crowds and into the house. Would they give up? Not a chance. They saw the stairs and they decided to go up onto the roof. What were they going to do then? I have no idea, but they had it worked out. Carrying a man and a mat up those stairs would have been difficult. Just ask some paramedic who goes up and down the flights of stairs in a block of flats, carrying somebody up and down in a stretcher. These men find this difficult, but they take him up the stairs. And here's the creative bit. Here's the out-of-the-box thinking for us. They decide to cut a hole in the roof. They risk damaging the owner's house. They risk bits of the roof, the wood and the thatch falling on top of Jesus and the crowd that was underneath them as they worked. They risk disrupting the meeting. And it can be hard in a meeting to deal with distractions, people moving, babies crying, things getting dropped, people talking, etc., etc., etc. I've managed over the years, by and large, most of the time, to not let these things faze me. Sometimes they still do, so stop fidgeting. I'm jesting. Some people, though, can get really annoyed and really upset by some disturbance in the midst of the meeting. Jesus stood in the room. And no doubt as he talked, bits of the roof, the twig, the mud, the clay tiles would begin to fall around him and on top of him. They probably weren't big bits, but still they'd be big enough bits of debris falling to cause a disruption. Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't rebuke them when the man is eventually lowered before them either. He admires their faith and he admires their courage. Who would have thought about digging a hole in the roof? Creative thinking on top of their teamwork. And in the midst of all of this, there's a sense of urgency. They had carried this man for some distance, I'm guessing. They can't get in. And they certainly don't want to carry him away back right now. They could have waited. They could have waited for the crowds to disperse and for Jesus to come out of the building.
They could have waited for the crowds to disperse so that they could get into the building. They could have gone away and come back the next day. That would have been another idea. But their friend needed to see Jesus. And so they stayed and they thought of solutions. They didn't want to wait for another day or a moment longer than they had to. And then what of the sacrifice? What of the sacrifice? It must have been costly for these friends to do what they were doing. Presumably, they weren't working that day. Perhaps it was a day off, or perhaps they had taken a day off, a day without pay, a holiday, to help this man. It cost them their energy in carrying him. It cost them their energy in digging a hole in the roof. And it may well have cost them for the repairs. I wonder what the homeowner was thinking as his roof started caving in. He must have wanted to run outside and go up the stairs to see what was happening, but he couldn't. The place was crowded. These men had tried to get in through the crowd, but they couldn't. So the homeowner is going to have no chance of getting through the crowd to get out, to get up on the roof. He must be worried. And then as the hole appears, he will have started thinking, perhaps, about his insurance policy, if he had one. Will it be covered? Is this something that the insurance company will pay out on, or is it not? And he may well have thought to himself, I'll get those vandals, and I'll make them pay. This didn't worry these four friends. Their friend needed to see the Master. Their friend needed to see Jesus, the one who could work miracles, the one who could heal him. And they had to get him to him, so they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to pay the cost of the roof, no doubt. They were willing to suffer at the anger of the homeowner. They were willing to be rebuked by Jesus, if need be, for disturbing him. They dared to do the costly. And that's faith. They laid it all on the line at a cost to themselves. And of course, in the midst of this whole process, don't we see a bit of persistence as well? When they saw the crowds, they could have turned away, but they didn't. When they saw that there was no way in, they could have got frustrated, but they didn't. They wanted to see their friend. They wanted their friend to see Jesus. So they persisted to the end. Cutting the hole would have taken time. It would have taken great effort. But they persevered. They persisted until the moment they could lower their friend down to see Jesus. Faith and courage allowed them to persist. They didn't give up. So we've seen the problem. We've looked at the process, and now we get a little bit of a glimpse of the provision. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I don't know about you, but some people get a little bit puzzled at this. And those gathered round that day certainly got a little bit puzzled by these words. The man was paralyzed. Surely he needed to walk. And here is Jesus, the miracle worker, forgiving his sins. The Bible teaches us, though, time and time again, that our biggest problem is not our human weaknesses. It's not the disabilities that we carry. It's not the problems that we suffer. It's not the worries and the cares and the anxieties that come our way. They're not our biggest problem as human beings. Our biggest problem is sin. And sin separates us from God. And sin will lead to death unless something is done about it. What's sin? Rebellion against God. Doing things our way, ignoring him, and choosing to do things ourselves. We're all guilty. We look at our lives and we say, I'm okay. I'm not a sinner. Look at so-and-so who killed someone. Look at so-and-so who takes drugs. Look at so-and-so who stole something. But we all sin. We as human beings like to put it in some kind of scale that we can grade so that we think to ourselves, do you know what? I'm not actually that bad. I'm not as bad as wee Jimmy round the corner. But the truth is, we're all sinners. And in God's eyes, he doesn't grade it. Sin is simply sin. And sin leads us away from God. And something needed to be done about our sin. For the wages of sin, the penalty, was death. And so God sent his son to the cross. Jesus took the punishment which was rightfully ours. Through his death and resurrection, we can be reconciled with God. Sin is our biggest problem, and we've got to deal with it. But God has made that provision by sending Jesus. And so Jesus sees this man's faith and the faith of his friends, and he forgives the man's sin. Later, he'll tell the man to get up, to pick up his mat, and to go home. And at that point, the man picks up his mat, he gets up, and he walks out the door. Jesus has healed him physically, but only after he has healed him spiritually. And note that Jesus recognized the faith of the friends. Their faith led them to show great courage in overcoming the problem of getting their friend to Jesus in the first place. They showed that out-of-the-box thinking as they went on the roof, as they cut a hole and as they lowered him through. This was courageous, for people would moan at them. But their faith was such that they believed Jesus could heal their friend, and he did. And more importantly, he forgave the man's sin. And Jesus longs to forgive our sin as well. And he's done that as he suffered and died on the cross. All we have to do is believe in him, turn from our sin, and seek to follow him from this day forward. And that takes great faith. That takes great courage. It takes courage to lay to the side all that we've known, all that we're comfortable with, all that makes us happy. It takes great courage to stand out from the crowd. It takes great courage to trust and to follow Jesus. These men dared to do what was difficult. They dared to do the unusual. They dared to do what was costly. These men were willing to do whatever it took to bring their friend to Jesus. That same heart needs to beat within each one of us. As long as it's biblical, we should not shy away from doing anything in our powers to bring people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Friends have faith and courage. May we have that same courage that these friends had in this story tonight. May we have that same lateral thinking, that out-of-the-box thinking. Come to Jesus yourself if you need to. And then for all of us, let's bring others to him as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the encouragement this evening. We thank you for giving us the ability to think out of the box. We thank you for the stories in the scripture that show us some of that lateral thinking. And we thank you for the faith and courage of these four friends as they got their friend lowered through the roof to see Jesus. Lord, help us to realize that's the greatest thing we can ever do for our friends, to do all that's in our power with a great sense of urgency, with great persistence, to think creatively in the midst of that and to work together to share the good news of the gospel with them. Lord, help us in these days, in days when coming to church isn't the done thing for people anymore. Help us to think creatively. Help us to think out of the box as to how we might relate to them and how we might draw them in. But Lord, help us never to change the core content of the gospel, because Lord, it's the power of God unto salvation, and it's everything that we need. Lord, I just pray that tonight, if there are any in here who don't know you or who have maybe wandered away from you, Lord, may this be the night when they recognize once more that you are our God, that you are our Savior, that you're the one who suffered and died in our place on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We thank you for our salvation. And Lord, I do just pray this evening that if there are any here, that the scales may be lifted from their eyes, that they might see clearly, and they may put their trust and their faith in you. Lord, for the rest of us, help us to take great courage and great faith this week as we go forth into this world. Help us to share our faith with those we meet in new and different ways. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.